open up God's Word, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. It's on your bulletin part of it as well. We'll be in Luke chapter 2. Our main verse is verse 14 that we'll key in on, but I'm going to go back and read the whole story of the angels appearing before the shepherds. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. In Christmas time, 1914, actually on Christmas Eve, there was something that happened during World War I all over the Western Front, a little bit on the Eastern Front. But on the Western Front, between British soldiers and German soldiers, there was what history now calls the Christmas Truce. One day, you know, December 23rd, they're shooting each other in the trenches, they're bombing each other. They're gassing each other, and then comes Christmas Eve, and little by little, they creep out of the trenches. And to summarize it all, by Christmas Day, they're sharing cigarettes in the middle of the no man's land. They're singing Christmas carols together. They're actually even playing soccer. Of course, they had a free, open time to take care and bury the dead as well, but there's pictures of even British and Germans playing against each other in soccer in the middle of no man's land in between the trenches. There was peace, at least for a moment. There was peace in World War I. It was short-lived. The nights were silent then, the silent night, and that was a good thing. What pleasance to a soldier to hear nothing. But then the bombs and the guns paraded once more. I think that can serve as a metaphor for a lot of people's lives around Christmas time. The Christmas season brings a feeling of magic and wonder to many, a sense of peace, the Christmas spirit that somehow gets Santa's Tim Allen's sleigh going again. Then the bombs parade again. December 26 comes. We go back to work. The new year comes. We're all psyched out for resolutions. We break the resolutions in 2 weeks. The cruelty of the world settles in once again. But yet for the Christian, the born-again believer, peace isn't a mirage. Peace is not temporary. Peace has an objective reality in a relationship with the God of the universe. And peace also for the Christian is a future promise in a place of peace forever. And it is peace that the angels tell the shepherds. If you could stand in honor of God's word as we read about this infamous Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. Let's read verses 8 to 14 together. Verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and here is our verse we will hone in on, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And then they continue to see the Christ child in Bethlehem. May God bless the reading of the word. You may be seated. And I failed to mention, if you do not have a Bible with you today and you would like to follow along as we go through this text, there is a blue Bible in front of you in the pew. At least there should be. There are 2 points to the sermon today. Usually I put them up on the screen. They're not up there today. If you're a note taker, here's point number one. What we see here, observation from the text, truth from the text. God gets the glory for sending the Christ child, according to verse 14. God gets the glory for sending the Christ child. So it says in our text, verse 14, actually at the end of verse 13, it says the host joined this one angel, and the whole host, it says, praising God and saying. See, it says saying there. Fun fact, the Bible never tells us the angels sing. In fact, the Bible never tells us the angels sing anywhere in the entire Scripture. There are 4 living creatures that aren't angels. There's just 4 living creatures that sing in Revelation. So, sorry, it's actually my favorite Christmas carol. Hark, the herald angels sing. I mean, maybe they were singing, but the text says they were saying. The angels say things, they shout things. Never does the Bible say the angels sing things. So before I ruin all of our Christmas folklore, by the way, the Bible never says there was a stable. It just talks about a manger. We assume the manger was in the stable, but what if they got the manger out of the stable? I mean, anyways, before we ruin it all, the angels say, they don't sing, they say, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. It starts with the glory of God. God gets the glory for sending this Christ child. God gets the glory for executing, delivering on His promise, His plan of salvation. In fact, the Bible would go so far as to emphasize that the fundamental reason God does anything is for His own glory, is for His own fame. You don't believe me? What about Isaiah 42:8? I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. And in fact, in that text where it says, I created for my glory, it can be argued that it's talking about a spiritual creation, like birthing new life in you. The context is actually salvation, not creating Adam and Eve. Like, I created you for my glory. I birthed in you your life, your spiritual life. It's for my glory, my fame. Isaiah 43:25, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Friends, God sent us Jesus for His glory. There's songs, there's one that used to be on the radio, I can't remember who sings it, but it's like, we are the reason that He gave His life. We are the reason that He suffered and died. Amen. That's true. But simultaneously, in Jesus coming to the earth, another reason the Bible says is for His glory. For the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. The angels say, in the highest. God is higher than any other creature. He is in the highest heaven, some scriptures say. Who can compare to Him? And Hebrews 3:3 says, for Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has, more honor than the house itself. We're the house, His creation. He's the builder of the house. He has the greatest glory. Who else should be glorified but God? Friends, the gospel and even the message of Christmas, it is not fully understood if we make it only about getting into heaven. Kind of looking out for our own interests of living forever. Friends, God is at the center of the gospel. When you repent and believe in Jesus, primarily on top of all the wonderful stuff we think about heaven, you know what you get? You get Jesus. Jesus is not merely a means for you to get into heaven. Jesus is heaven. Is your affection for Christ to see Him glorified? John Piper, my favorite quote, it's on the website, on the About Me section of me. I put it there for a reason. I just love this. It describes what I want to do in my life. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. How does God get glory in the highest? By you being enthralled with Him. By you being enthralled with Christ. God is the gospel. The New Jerusalem that is coming, that's described in Revelation 21, where God creates, He burns up this world, He creates a new heaven, new earth, and in this vision by John in Revelation 21, this heavenly city is coming down, and it's coming to this new heaven, new earth, and it says that in this new city that there will be no sun. Why? Verse 23 of Revelation 21 says, because the glory of God gives its light. He is glorious. What He has done for us is glorious. And when we celebrate with Him in the new heaven and new earth, we won't even have a sun because He is so glorious. My father who died of cancer will not have glory that gives off light in the new heaven and new earth. No, it'll be the Godhead that has glory and gives off His light. So not only should one not think that silly joke about I would rather be in hell because that's going to be more fun, that's where all of my friends are. Friends, heaven will be enthralling, not really because some of our believing friends are there. Heaven will be enthralling because that is where this glorious God reigns. Whether my friends are there or not, whether my father is there or not, I get Jesus. And friends, that's all your soul needs is Jesus. Do you believe that? Get Jesus. Our souls were created for His glory. Our souls were created that we would have no true satisfaction in our souls outside of a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. We get Jesus. Amen. And so God gets glory through sending the Christ child, point number one. But point number two, the Christian and only the Christian, friends, gets the peace through receiving the Christ child. God gets glory for sending the Christ child. We see from the angels here, God, the Christian, gets peace through receiving the Christ child. The angels continue saying, not singing, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Now, some of you are used to a Charlie Brown Christmas. Linus saying this line, quoting the King James Version, saying, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. However, every modern translation, NIV, ESV, NASB, all kinds of them, in your translation, if it's more modern, will say something to the effect of what we read from the ESV version today, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased. We've gone through in the book of Mark about different manuscripts and copies of copies of copies, and long story short, as we've studied this, we've found more reliable copies of the text that have, in modern times, a consensus on that translation, that it's not on earth peace, goodwill toward men, but on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. And I think some of us, not just possibly, like not just because it's not what we were used to in a Charlie Brown, but maybe it almost sounds offensive to the soul. Like, wait, the other one kind of sounded, you know, just great. Like, yeah, goodwill toward men. No qualifications there. But it says this peace only goes, qualifies it, among those with whom he is pleased. And I think a good explanation in story form is in Luke chapter 10. If you hold your spot and go to Luke 10, it kind of pictures for us what this looks like for peace to be qualified, for only some to receive this peace. Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending out the 72 that he appoints. You know, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. He gives them instructions. He tells them how to deal with people that reject the message of the kingdom. And in Luke chapter 10, go to verses 5. I'll start there. He then says to them, "Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" Okay? That's kind of like the angel saying, "And on earth peace." You are peace. Anyone can have it. There you go. Peace be to this house. You are just launching peace out there for somebody to have. So right there, whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." But then verse 6, "And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you." The angels are saying, "Peace be to this house. Peace be to this world." But the reality is that there are people that aren't sons of peace. The reality is there are people that will not receive this good news. And it is proverbially, as that text says, returned to the one that gave the peace. Those that do not receive the peace in this world, like those that did not receive the peace in the house, do not actually get peace. And so, peace is given to those with whom God is pleased. So we then ask the question, who is God pleased with? And how can we, a rebellious people, ever please God? We cannot placate His justice. We deserve death row. Hebrews 11:6 says, we cannot please God without faith. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the flesh, and flesh interpreted there means like the unbeliever, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 1:18, we deserve God's wrath. Paul opens up a glorious exposition, explanation of the good news of Christ by starting with God's wrath. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Friends, God's wrath is like the Hoover Dam if it were to break, and all of that river rushing towards us. We cannot stop the raging waters of God's good, right, fair, just wrath towards our rebellion against Him, the King of the universe. But the angel said, "Peace." And so God sent Jesus like it were a crack that all of a sudden forms in the ground, and all of that raging river gets swallowed. Every last drop of God's right, fair punishment towards my rebellion was swallowed up by the great chasm of the cross. Amen. Right before it washes away, right before we spend an eternity apart from God, God declares peace to our world. Romans 5:9 says, "Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God." What he's saying is, Christ's gift, His sacrifice on the cross is enough. It will fully take care of your sin. There is no sin, friend, in this room that you have committed that Jesus cannot take care of. From the murderer to the adulterer to the liar to the blasphemer, Christ loves you. And he has pronounced peace upon your soul. Will you allow him be a great chasm to swallow up the river in your place? Rhonda mentioned it in the children's message. She said, therefore, there's now no condemnation. There's peace. You can have peace with God, she said. We were born God's enemies, and yet we can now count God a friend, which is the bottom level, deep rooted desire of God. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. He delights for you to, when he calls out with peace, for you to receive that peace. But you have to receive it, or it will return to him. Peace on earth. This favor with whom God is pleased. How do we please God? Not by anything we can do. Only by what Jesus has done. Amen. Only with faith can we please God. And so, Christian friend, hear the angels in the sky and know that you are at peace with God and know that you have immigrated into a kingdom of peace. But not all of us have peace. Many coming December 26th, they'll return to the trenches, per se. And so, Christian friend, will you shout the message to the shepherds of Keysville that need to know that a Savior's been born and a Savior died? Will you tell them a Savior is nearby? Will you tell them how to be at peace with God? Will you tell them that God is pleased only with those who receive His Son, that there's nothing we can do to make up this insurmountable debt of rebelling against Him? But He's provided it right there in Christ. Oh, it's wrongly titled, but my favorite carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let me read to you the first verse. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, which means they weren't. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies with the angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Wesley, that wrote that hymn, had it right, except for the singing part. Yes, glory to the newborn King. Through the Christ child, God gets glory. But yes, God and sinners reconciled, at peace with God through Christ. For all who, so there's the qualifier, for all who join the triumph of the skies. Will you join with the angels, that heavenly host in the sky? Believe that. That message of good news be written on your heart. Christ died for your sin. Is your affection in Christ alone? Is he who you worship? Join the heavenly host. I hope everyone here has joined that triumph of the skies. Because friends, that's a Christmas truce that will never end. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we ask that you would bless us as we continue this season. Lord, bless us as we close the service. Spirit of God, move in our hearts. I pray that you would chase the unbeliever and draw them to you. Father, I pray that you would encourage the believer with just the insurmountable grace that you have provided in your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for all of your work. As we were talking in Sunday school today, like I just think even as a pastor, Lord, I confess it's so easy for me to just say the words and preach the Christmas story. But Lord, I know I need to pause many times. I ask that we would pause and really understand that I could have spent an eternity away from you, and yet you chose to save me and chose to save all who would receive you. Father, let that sink in. Let it birth new desires in us to live for you, in Jesus' name.